The New York Times, maybe you've heard of them, the world leader in news. They have finally done what a news source should and have done a giant article about Scandoval. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Welcome into the foxhole, New York Times. This is where the news happens, honey.
It's crazy that it's turned into whatever will get them views and clicks is what is news now.
I mean, no one has a choice. But the headline of this New York Times article is that Tom Sandoval, bless him, bless this hot, stupid motherfucker. Tom has said that the whole Scandoval sensation of 2023 was akin to the O.J. Simpson trial and or George Floyd's murder.
It's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I mean, let's just take it piece by piece. Was Scandoval huge? 1,000%. Was it bigger than it even should have been because it was just someone cheating on his girlfriend? Yeah, of course. We're running with it because we're immature people and we need to free up. We need to use our time as unwisely as possible while we're on this planet. And that's what we're doing.
Was it a way for women to channel their anger about their ex that had cheated on them into characters on a TV show that they don't actually know? Yes.
Yes. Transformative for a certain audience.
Yeah.
However, comparing it to George Floyd, I would say it's just a misstep from idiot. Like, I don't believe it was that cataclysmic, Tom. Comparing it to O.J. Simpson... Also, I mean, I sort of understand how he could make that mistake, but there were so many more issues of race and class that went along with O.J. Simpson. It wasn't just a car chase. It was a moment in history that shifted the culture.
Yes, forever.
Scandoval, this is not so. Yeah. Not so. That being said, if Tom Sandoval had said that his affair with Raquel was the equivalent of the Holocaust being dipped in AIDS and wrapped in climate change, I would still let him smack me in the face with his dick. Just be hot, Tom.
I knew that.
Just be hot and quiet. Be hot and quiet. Come on. Stop.
I mean, what's he going to do? Turn down a New York Times magazine like cover story? No, of course not.
Well, he should, because this should have been
bad.
The peak.
Yeah.
I mean, if the New York Times is doing these multi-page articles about Tom Sandoval, then Fixing Famous People should be up for a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah,
I mean,
Dominic,
Christopher,
who are we if not journalists?
Well, we are journalists now.
You know?
I mean, if the New York Times is covering stories that we covered a year ago, then yeah, where's my Nobel? Where is it? Bring it on.
Yeah, this is journalism. Okay, moving on. I'm going to get upset. I can't continue this. I can't go down this road because
you're going to get upset.
I'll get very upset. Yes.
Viewers, I wish you could see Chris right now. He is freshly woken up from what looks to be a fitful sleep. His tits are everywhere. He's in a velour robe.
My hair sticking straight up.
It's insane. Sean Diddy Combs, new sexual harassment allegations. This time, wait
dare
for
you
it.
Say harassment.
I'm throwing it all the way back to Clarence Thomas. Harassment. Wait, but listen, this time the sex assault allegations are from a man.
No.
Oh.
No. Oh, I really didn't think
from NBC News. Sean Diddy Combs was sued Monday in federal court by a producer on his most recent album who accuses the mogul of sexually harassing, drugging, and threatening him over more than a year. Now, among the allegations is that Diddy forced this guy, his name is Rodney Lil Rod Jones.
Love that.
Among the allegations is that Combs forced Jones to procure sex workers and pressured him to engage in unwelcome sex acts with them and others, and that Combs gave laced alcoholic beverages to people who attended parties at his homes. There are screenshots. There's all sorts of quote-unquote evidence. Oh, obviously, Diddy's representatives are saying the entire thing is just reckless name-dropping about events that are pure fiction.
These assistants are, like, coming out of the woodwork to, like...
Yeah. I mean, we knew this was going to happen.
People.
I mean, I think if you listen to when this first came out, I'm 99% sure that we did say this was a tip of the iceberg type thing and that everyone was going to come out. These allegations, though, are not from back in the day. These are from 2022 up to and including November of 2023.
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
So
that's really bad now.
These are timely allegations. I mean, it's sort of... It's like a Russell Brand thing. I feel like this happening is just, oh, okay, there we are.
Like, well,
did we all think that this was like an up and up dude? I don't think we did.
No, really. I mean, if we want to just think back quickly to, like, remember the show, like, I Want to Work for Diddy?
Yeah.
I mean, how many times on that show was he, like, assaulting the camera crew?
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they were like filming him and he would just like punch someone in the face, like that was filming mm-hmm. him. Like, mm-hmm. it's not like we didn't see this coming a mile away.
So he's saying the allegations are false. Speaking of false allegation, we want to make sure we follow up on the Kelly Rowland scandal from last week. As you might remember, she and her team supposedly stormed out of 30 Rock because the dressing room was too small. Unsurprisingly, Kelly Rowland's camp saying, excuse me, that is not the reason that we walked out of the Today Show. The reason is that Savannah Guthrie breached our verbal agreement that we didn't want to sit there and talk about Beyonce for 45 minutes. And Savannah just kept asking Kelly Rowland about Beyonce's success rather than Kelly's own projects. And I guess Kelly had enough and fleeced the scene. She said, fuck this,
I'm
done.
So it was during the shoot or no?
No, it was during a commercial break. But like during hour two, Savannah interviewed Kelly, who was supposed to co-host the third hour of the Today Show. And so apparently after her offensive interview with Savannah, Kelly said, I'm out. Like, I'm not here to just talk about Beyonce. I mean, for the rest of my life. I think she would talk about it for the rest of her life, but she was there to promote a specific project.
Exactly.
And said, can we just put B on the back burner?
And that's like, I don't like that. I don't like when it's like, okay, here's the one thing that I don't want to talk about. And the person's like, oh, well, that's the only reason why you're here. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the thing that's annoying is that they probably hired her to be like, we want to talk about Beyonce and you'll be here and you'll give great like bites. And it's like,
right.
Well, no, you should check with this person because they actually have something to promote and like want to be there on their own volition, rightfully so, not talk about Beyonce.
It's very much like when I'm doing my stage shows and I'm trying to work on stage and people scream from the audience, shut up, where's Chris DeRosa? I understand what Kelly's going through. Where's Chris? We thought this was a live podcast thing. Yeah, what is my great aunt doing up there?
Liza Minnelli's ghost?
Why is Joe Pesci's grandmother shouting at us? Where's Chris?
You love to call us Joe Pesci's grandmother. I think
that's what we sound like.
We are. I know.
When people see us in person and see we're not in our 70s, they're always like relieved
completely
and aroused.
Shocked. Yeah.
This week, we do have a share watch because I'll take any time, speaking of people in their 70s, anytime she's in the news. We don't have a theme for it, but I would imagine Ho would be on it. We'll work on that.
It's Wagon Wheel Watusi.
Wagon Wheel Watusi. Yeah. So Chaz is getting married. My friend Val sent me this story, and I am obsessed with really just one word in it. The source for this story is the never reliable In Touch Weekly.
Oh, oof. No. Like levels and levels below our paper of note, people.com's Instagram. Like
it's written down of
hell,
somewhere.
Rings of hell below.
It's written down somewhere. So to me, it's news.
Yeah.
The headline is "The Dramatic Reason Cher Was Uninvited from Son Chaz Bono's Wedding." Well,
no, was she really uninvited? There's no way this is real. There's no way.
Cher has reportedly been uninvited to son Chaz Bono's upcoming wedding to girlfriend Shara Blue. I don't know how to say her last name. Maybe it's Matthews. According to In Touch Weekly, Chaz decided to uninvite his mother from the upcoming festivities due to Cher's quote unquote theatrics. Well.
This is what I'm going to say when I uninvite you from my wedding, by the way.
And I'm going to call bullshit on that for the same reason I'm calling bullshit on In Touch.
You're going to go right to In Touch to give that
the
story.
The reason that Cher and I get invited to anything is specifically because of our theatrics. So please stop it. Cher wakes up in the morning with a baseline of theatrics. And as her son, you're supposed to pray that it gets worse than that.
And like, you should be, of all people, used to that as her son.
I mean, wouldn't you think? I mean, also, I think uninviting her to something that she's obviously paying for, the nerve, Chaz Bono. True. The nerve.
That's very true.
Yeah, Cher's been having problems with both of her kids for a while now, where she's not speaking to Elijah. She tried to have a conservatorship over his finances and that failed. So Cher definitely having problems with her children.
Doesn't she have that like 30-year-old boyfriend?
I don't know what the deal is with that guy.
There's no way that's like helping at all.
Probably not. The quote is here is Cher has tried to be there for her kids, but neither wants anything to do with her. It's devastating. I guess Chaz is saying that Cher tried to meddle and micromanage his wedding plans. That I absolutely do not believe is true.
No,
I believe that if it was at an In-N-Out, Cher would be like, congratulations.
Yeah, she would be.
She doesn't care.
I remember like Kathy Griffin. This is like years old now. Kathy Griffin's stand-up about how she went to Cher's house and it was Cher's birthday and she brought a cake. Do you remember this? And she walked into her house with one slice of cake on a plate and was like, hello, whenever she got into Cher's living room. Like, then they went upstairs and they were hanging out and then she wanted to order a pizza, but Cher didn't know how to order a pizza. And she was like, I'm Cher. I don't know how to order a pizza. And then Kathy Griffin was calling her assistant and they were trying to fight with the assistant to order a pizza to Cher's house. And she was like, what address do I put? And Cher was like, I don't know.
Oh,
and then she
God.
Was like, Cher's house, like Malibu, California, or whatever it was. And that was over a decade ago that this stand-up came out. So like, she definitely doesn't know how to micromanage anything. If a decade ago she couldn't order a pizza or know her own address.
I love that. I don't have clear memories of what you're saying.
Oh, are you serious?
I
need to find it and send it to you. Dominic, it's the funniest shit you've ever heard in your life.
By the way, if any pizza delivery guys in Malibu are unable to find Cher's house, this is the absolute truth. I will tell you exactly where it is because I have driven by it probably 80 times. I know I could get there with my fucking eyes closed.
That's hilarious.
It's also a mansion in the middle of nowhere. Like there are no houses around
it.
It would be very hard to miss.
I'm sure.
Oh, by the way, there's this great story. I don't know if you've heard, but Paul Giamatti was on Stern recently. And I guess a couple of years ago, his assistant said, Cher's been trying to reach you. Apparently Cher called Paul Giamatti's people and needed to get in touch with him. And so for like a considerable length of time, Paul Giamatti's people were trying to check back about what Cher wanted. And I believe that Cher forgot why she was trying to reach out to Paul Giamatti when they finally got a hold of her. but it's a story he'll tell at cocktail parties.
Oh,
forever.
God, that's so funny. What do you think it would be? Just like, oh, you were great in the show. Like, it was nothing, right?
What could it be? Like, Cher loved billions? What could it have been?
Truly. She's like, you know that show that's not Succession? Like, I loved it. I loved you in that show. You know that show that they made so that What's-His-Name could have a vehicle after they kicked him off of Homeland? Like, that show was great. Yeah.
Several people have been asking me because it's rumored that Cher is going to perform in the Legends slot in Glastonbury this year. People have been asking, will you go? And the answer is absolutely not. No.
Why?
Because I'm not standing outside with a bunch of people screaming in a mud-filled concert. I'm just not doing it.
Okay.
Like, I don't enjoy concerts at all anymore because quite simply, people don't know how to behave.
No.
They don't know how to have a community experience. I'm also 5'4", and when I go to a concert, if I'm anywhere from the fourth row back, all I see are people's phones. Like, I can't see shit.
Yeah,
there's not a heel high enough for me to wear. And I've tried that as well. So I just watch things on YouTube now rather than go out in public. I haven't left my house in 7 years. All right, let's move on. Don Lemon has apparently settled his beef with CNN. They have paid him reportedly $24.5 million. I don't know if that's just to be like, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry,
bye.
We fired you when that maniac was here, but here you go.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean,
he's been on the list to fix for some time now. We've just
I took him off though. It's like, what is he going to do?
I don't know.
You know, like what's he going to do? Like not really anything.
Well, he's a millionaire and Don Lemon also say what you want. He is fucking gorgeous. So he's set. If someone gave me $24 million, I would invest it. Well, I'd live off it for the rest of my life.
You would never see me again. I'd be like, bye. Like it would be... you would see me once a year when I would invite you to my very nice house in a car service and be like, here you go. Come eat dinner with us. And now goodbye. Like that. Yeah. I would be out, gone, baby, gone, period.
I would even do that dinner virtually. I wouldn't even show
like,
up in person.
Yeah. A hologram of you would come to my door.
Let's go down south. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are in Australia because Taylor is not done performing this show that she's been assaulting everyone with for the past year. But of note is that Taylor's father apparently assaulted a photographer while they were down there after hours. I don't know if the photographer got handsy or whatever, but I guess Mr. Taylor Swift, Daddy Swift, had to punch him. And it turns out that this photographer is someone who one of our favorites, Nicole Kidman, had a restraining order against a while back for bad behavior.
No.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I didn't see that twist coming. That's fun.
Right? Right?
I mean, right there, the whole world sides with Nicole. So like, you know what I mean? Like anyone with any kind of knowledge, like anything is like, this man is a monster, like a menace to society and should be put in jail. So
Taylor Swift's dad finishing the job that Nicole
like,
Kidman
yes,
started.
Thank you. Yeah. We're like saluting him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Really quick, just to make old people feel older while listening to this podcast, Monica Lewinsky has turned 50 years old. 5-0.
Wait, I'm not done with Taylor though.
Go back. Let's do it.
I want to say the stories have kind of died down since the Super Bowl and I'm finally feeling relief. Do you agree?
Oh, for sure. We need a break. Yeah.
Like Taylor Swift wears socks, like is not a story anymore. Like, and I'm like feeling great about that.
Well, I hope you enjoy this moment because it's about like, we are about to enter a fever dream of Taylor versus Beyonce for the rest of 2024. Their albums are coming out within weeks of each other.
I know I've said it, but like, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. You'll hear in this episode me talk about this more, but like, it's too much. Like, I can't do it anymore.
Well, we're just getting a brief break to soak up the Academy Awards. And once the Oscars have died down, we are back to the world that Taylor and Beyonce are running. For us, who run the world? These two girls.
Yeah. Okay. When does it turn? When do we as a society turn from Taylor being like the biggest thing in music to being a billionaire that we hate? That's the question. Because she's now a billionaire.
I'd say there's a considerable chunk of society that might already be there. Like,
I'm just saying, when does her music and who she is, like anyone that's like, why does Jeff Bezos go to space? Like, Taylor's now in that camp, money-wise. Yeah. So it's like, we're at a crossroads. And if you don't think we are, we are.
Well, she might, maybe she'll run for office. I mean, I don't know what she's supposed to do now. She's only like 34 or 35 years old. She already owns the world. Like, that sort of power and wealth scares me, because it's like, if I'm her, I am sitting at home in a mansion with Seamless on speed dial and just getting fat and watching Netflix from start to finish. That's what I'm doing. Like, when you are accomplishment, what do you do? Like, what, you're the standard for everybody. What are you supposed to do? Maybe she'll run for office.
Who knows? Anyway, Monica Lewinsky.
Speaking of running for office. Somewhat. Monica Lewinsky is 50. I don't know the magazine that's done this photo shoot with her, but please Google it, because she looks absolutely gorgeous. And she's 50. So if you woke up feeling young, I have news for you. You're not. And neither is Monica Lewinsky. Monica Lewinsky is 50. Never married. I really always hoped that she would like settle down with someone who could look past all the bullshit, but I guess that's not possible for her.
No.
It's too much. She's too much.
And then she like made her, which I'm glad that she did this, but she like talked about basically like what happened to her is like her now, her whole platform of like, this is wrong.
Right.
Which is correct. And that she should be, but it's like now her whole life revolves around like something that happened to her when she was a young person.
Forever.
You know, I mean, it's like she.
Well, she has often billed herself as like the first victim of cyberbullying, which I always thought was interesting and like kind of true, actually.
It's true.
Like,
I believe, I agree.
The template.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when she goes on the Today Show, she'll also, she's probably like, please let's not talk about Bill Clinton or.
Yeah. And they're like, And they're like, okay, bye.
I'm not here to talk about my place in history. I'm here to talk about horticulture or whatever her interests are. But, you know, looking good is like 80% of it. And she does. So good for you, Monica Lewinsky. Yeah. I know many people who know her and liaise with her and say that she is absolutely like truly the loveliest.
I'm sure.
Kindest person, you know, like not even in the face of her entire reputation, just being about this one thing, that she handles it actually better than you might think. I bet she's also someone we could get on this podcast, too. Who would we fix? Should we get her to fix Bill or Hillary?
Oh, God, she wouldn't do that. I wouldn't want her to do that.
Moving right along. Let's talk about it. Truly the elephant in the room, and we have left it for last. The Wendy Williams docu-mentary.
Heartbreaking.
Whew. This was a lot. This
heartbreaking
was a lot. I think you and I are of the same opinion about this production. There's a lot of backlash. There are a lot of people complaining about it being exploitive and all this nonsense. Tell me if I'm paraphrasing what both of our opinions are, but I say not so. I think like heartbreaking in, I don't want to say educational because it's a little too pedantic, but like you are seeing someone who is a well-known public figure struggle with dementia. That is not something you ever get to see. And I think,
agree.
I would say at least as eye-opening as it is heartbreaking. It wasn't reading exploitive to me. I'm sorry.
This country, we want those people to go away and not be seen because we don't want to deal with it.
100%.
And this is showing you on a fucking silver platter what happens whenever this happens to you. Do you know what I mean?
We want them
in a nursing home away from society where they go and go crazy and whatever.
To the point where we are showing this woman suffering with this ailment and people are just screaming. They don't want to see it at all. Even viewing a person in this state is considered exploitive because you don't want to have to witness it, because we all know that what she's going through now could happen to any of us. There ain't no rhyme or reason when it comes to dementia. Now, I know her son says that her dementia is alcohol induced. I don't know if there's a way you could prove that, and I'm not a doctor, but dementia and aphasia, this is something that affects so many people willy-nilly. People don't like to see things that could possibly happen to them. And they brand it like, this was embarrassing. Why did Lifetime do it? Honey, you saw the trailer. You knew what this was going to be. There were no surprises here. Everything you needed to know about Wendy Williams, you saw in the trailer for this doc that shocked the world. All watching the doc did was unpack it. I mean, it's a very sad story for a billion reasons, but exploitive, not feeling it.
I also think that you're showing someone who is in a vulnerable position where if maybe this wasn't happening, they would be preyed upon by someone.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, we now all know versus now it's like Wendy has this new boyfriend who's 20 and is like taking all of her money. Do you know what I'm saying? And we're like, huh? Sure. Why? Oh my God, she's crazy. And it's like, no, because she's out of her mind and doesn't know what's what. And now this person is like siphoning all of her money into his pockets. And I'm being very like alarmist about it, but it's like, this is the person that like Jen Shah preyed upon. Do you know what I mean? To like get money. This is the person who like is donating all their social security money to like random political campaigns that don't exist. This is the person who, you know, said, oh my God, there's kids that need money where? And then sending it to like, imscammingyou.org. You know what I mean? Like that's
totally,
that's what this is. So like, I mean, is it heartbreaking? Yes. Do we hate watching it because it's like horrifying? Yes. Is this the biggest explanation of why she just one day disappeared off of television and never was seen again? Yes.
Sure. Like, sure. Not everything is exploitive is what I'm trying to get. Well, first of all, anything you watch anywhere, someone's making a dime off of it, including this podcast. So it's not like everything exists so you can make money. However, I think the merit of the actual documentary is being sort of trampled on because we now have an explanation for
everything.
Everything. For when she passed out, dressed as the Statue of Liberty, that is square one for this.
Yeah.
And so you're seeing someone who was, as a celebrity, in your life every day for years. And for people in New York, we knew who she was years before she had this talk show and was on the national scale. Like, she was already a legend in New York before she was introduced to the masses. She made a name for herself in a space where you didn't find many women of color when Wendy Williams started out.
Of course.
And even though she was polarizing and said some fucked up shit, I mean, we do that on this podcast every week, but I think the backlash is sort of a little... it's a little disingenuous to me because you're seeing the effects of dementia on someone in real time. Like, we've seen what's happening to Wendy Williams, to people in our families and our friends' families. And that's what this is. That's how I took the documentary. I mean, she's in a very sad state because we know who she was before. And that's what dementia and aphasia does to people. It removes their personality.
Instead of being forthright about it, what did they do? Bump her right off TV and hide her away. Exactly what everyone wants. You know what I mean? I'm bringing it back to what I said at the beginning of this. Mm-hmm. Like, instead of being like, hi, this is what's happening, she can't do this show anymore because she's not capable of doing it. We would be overwhelmingly supportive of her. But instead, it's like a sleight of hand, like she's gone and we never see her again. And unless this documentary would have came out, we just would have seen her pop up on TikTok in the grocery store sometimes being like, I'm coming back. You know what I mean? Like,
And that's the difference, because they weren't forthright about what was going on with her. And maybe they didn't know. I mean, it's possible nobody knew. You know, she was going through the end of her marriage.
I don't believe that for one solitary second.
Knew that she was suffering from dementia 100%. Years back, that it was happening?
No, I don't think years back. I think once they had to get her off TV, they were like, oh, she can't do this anymore because she doesn't know where she is. That's what I think.
And I have
no proof of that. I'm just, that's my opinion.
Well, we don't care about facts here anyway, so let's just keep going. If she or anyone had said something about her condition, no one would be looking at this documentary saying, oh, it's exploitive. Oh, this is heartbreaking. They would just say, this is what happens to someone. Sometimes this happens to people and it sucks. And that's it. But, you know, her sisters, her son, I know there's a lawsuit and all sorts of shit and people are screaming, but like, her family was involved. She's not only surrounded by people who are taking advantage of her. Is she surrounded by people who are taking advantage of her? Yeah, 100%. All celebrities are. Make no mistake about it.
All of their family members that probably just want the money from this documentary and that's why they're suing.
Right. But apparently she has a conservator that no one knew about, like a legal guardian who is the one making a lot of legal noise.
again, that's its own problem. Like, right. Who is that person? What, yep. Like, we're not getting fooled by this again, Mr. Spears, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Mrs. Spears. I trusted you. Death to all of them. Like, to quote her herself, I don't like that. Like, that she had a conservator the whole time. Like, we need to now know who this is. This is a Britney Spears redux. And then they want to guess what's going to happen. This random person that no one fucking knows even exists takes every single penny she has and puts her in a fucking mental institution. That's what happens.
Strangely enough, Wendy Williams' conservator is Jamie Kevin Spears. Federline. Is that it's Kevin Federline.
Everything oh, can you connects. Imagine? Can you imagine if it was like, what is that woman's name? Lou Taylor and Jamie Spears. We would burn them to the ground.
Is Lou Taylor the name of Britney's conservator?
That's the woman that was like started that company that would like conserve her. Yeah.
You know what we haven't done on this podcast in a long time? Hey, y'all. It just needed to be said. Yeah. She has been
quiet. She's quiet. She's been posting like white squares and just like some novels on Instagram.
I'll tell you what, though. This just occurred to me in a flash. Britney Spears could literally stop the world on its axis if on March 15th, just for no reason, before either of these other two bitches takes over 2024, she just drops an album.
She like, won't.
Would
she's
that
not.
Be the greatest fucking
Dominic,
moment?
It's, no. It's never, I mean, yes, it would be the greatest moment. It's not happening.
So this is what I'm going to do in her place. On this podcast, we're going to release an album of covers sung as Britney Spears in advance of Beyonce and Taylor's albums coming out. Check this space in March. We're going to be out doing them before these albums
come
out.
Give me like one line.
Hey, y'all, do you believe in life after love? We're going to do all the hits. We're doing all the hits.
That's not even one of her songs.
No, she's just doing covers of other people's songs.
Got it. Not of her own songs.
We're already done with that.
Got it. But this is why, like, we were like, Wendy, just get on Instagram Live. Everyone will, like, be with you. Like, this is why she's not there. Like, this is why her podcast doesn't exist. This is why she hasn't just, like, gone to another network. This is why she hasn't, like, this all makes sense now. And Everyone's mad because you got tricked, you know? Yeah. Everyone thought, oh no, she's gone or whatever. And it makes sense now. And that's why everyone's mad. Speaking of Wendy Williams.
Yeah.
It was your birthday.
What on earth does Wendy Williams have to do with it? Like, speaking of other old people with dementia, it was your birthday, Dominic.
I'm reminding you that it was your birthday.
Was it?
On Sunday, how was it?
We had a lovely time. My OGs and I had a lovely brunch at the sponsor of today's broadcast, Little Ruby's Cafe. Now, are they the actual sponsor? No. Do we have an opening? Yes, Ruby. Yes. Call us. Yes.
Ding dong. Your parents were there, I saw. Made me
it was a lovely day.
Extremely jealous.
My mother was so annoyed you weren't there. At a certain point, leaned over and was like, tell Chris I'm very disappointed he's not here.
I was skiing. I would have raced home if I could have, but I couldn't.
I know. I didn't give anyone enough notice. I was just like, I wasn't going to do anything for my birthday this year. And at the last minute, I was like, let's just have a brunch. Because one of the main reasons to live in New York City is to have brunch in the West Village on Sundays and then just go from bar to bar until someone has to put you in an Uber. It's one of the top five reasons to live in New York.
Correct.
And I don't understand why I don't live in the West Village. Oh, because it's because I can't afford it. But someday, someday I will. And thank you for your birthday wishes. And to all of our listeners as well. So many of you reached out and I greatly appreciate it and love you. And I'm grateful to be here. Another trip around the sun, as they say.
Yeah.
I've lied about my age so much that I genuinely don't even know what it is. That's I rely on Facebook people I went to high school with to tell me at this point.
Oh my God.
Speaking of very special days, let's talk about this special day. We have for you today a very special episode of Fixing Famous People. It's an extravaganza. It is a crossover. Chris, tell us everything, please.
We, in an unprecedented move, we are doing a crossover episode with the hilarious Substack and podcast, How to Be Less Old. Our reigning episodic champion, Deanna Chang, and her co-host Emily Foster of How to Be Less Old. They are breaking down all of the trends, the things that Gen Z and Gen Alpha are doing, all the things that us two old people, we're like, huh, what's this? They think this. They're worried about blank. What is a tomato girl? Like, blah, blah, blah. All of these things, they're in the trenches. Speaking of journalistic integrity and people that deserve Peabody Awards, they're in the trenches of TikTok, of social media, out in the streets with these young people, asking them about why they do the things that they do. And they're reporting on it. It's beautiful. And we are here to fix all of these Gen Z trends that you hear on Instagram that are fucking ridiculous. That is what we're doing.
It is not your standard FFP fare, but I will tell you that this episode is for me as the elder stateswoman of this broadcast, a complete education. The amount of terms and bullshit that I learned from this discussion is, I won't say it's reshaped my life, but it's definitely crammed it with even more useless information than I had before. And you're going to enjoy it.
This is terrifying, and you should buckle up because humanity is lost is really what it is, because the things we learn in this are shocking and wowee wee wow, it's bad. And if you like this episode, please head on over to How to Be Less Old. They have a Substack where they write articles and do a podcast, and it is absolutely hilarious and informative.
That's
so
right.
And without further ado,
we will fix Gen Z right after this short break.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Okay, we have an unprecedented crossover episode for all of you. The ladies
of how...
This
means there is no precedent. There is no precedent for what's happening here. None.
The ladies from How to Be Less Old, as you know her on this podcast, Miss Deanna Chang, and introducing Miss Emily Foster from the How to Be Less Old Substack and podcast. Welcome. Listen, I hit you guys up. I said, listen, these trends are out of control. How do we deal with the younger generation? We need experts to come on and talk about Gen Z and Gen whatever the hell fuck is after that. And you guys said, well, we need them to be fixed. So you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, correct? That's what we're doing here tonight.
Absolutely.
Love it.
Okay.
Fix we must. What a pleasure. I mean, in an intro and just a delight to be having a very special episode. It feels like such a throwback. I mean, and introducing Emily Foster is like, you know, when they would do that on the TV shows.
It's the Heather Locklear-iest thing that's ever happened on this podcast. I will tell
correct.
You that for sure.
Correct. And Deanna joins us as our reigning Fixie Award champion for best episode.
And like, congratulations.
Do you want to just drink that in for a second, Deanna?
Yeah.
I mean.
Gosh, it's actually a lot to drink in, and it's almost too much to hold, to be honest, like in my body.
I mean, you're royalty on our podcast. I'm surprised your appearance wasn't preceded by a rider of some sort about how we were supposed to look or how we were to address you when you arrived here.
Well, you know, I'm already very concerned about this episode not going well after that, but I think it will. I think it will.
No, I feel like we're all on the same wavelength.
And yeah, I do too.
For those that may not be familiar, let's talk about How to Be Less Old. What's going on?
Fantastic. So we basically try our darndest to understand the youth It's an ongoing project. Some days it feels like, why?
Yeah.
Because they are unknowable. And yeah. yet this is the work we do. We do it day in and we do it day out.
And you really are boots on the ground, like reporting, investigative journalism is what's happening.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Dominic would enjoy this. This isn't to say, Dominic, where is your subscription to our Substack? I'm not saying
that. It is.
That.
It I'm absolutely just
saying,
is.
I mean, it, it's also it.
Like
that.
It's not like you're directly saying that, but we can interpret your tone differently. Go ahead.
However you want to kind of interpret that. But we had a podcast several years ago called How to Be This Old. And then we were talking because Emily went to get her back worked on. And the woman, you know, was she a chiropractor or
this was my physical therapist.
Physical therapist.
Physical therapist.
Very,
okay.
26, maybe, right? But like a professional woman of sorts.
Yes.
On my sixth visit with her, she said, as I'm leaving, oh, you know what? I know what it is. Emily, you're suspicious. Your personality is suspicious. And I immediately just called Deanna. We went out for drinks and I said, I'm so lost in this comment.
Yeah, like it hit you like a ton of bricks. Yeah.
I mean, I was offended. There were tears, but I was like, does this even warrant tears? I don't know what happened to me, but a medical professional maybe insulted me and I'm not even sure.
May I pose some questions about this incident before we move forward?
I would love that.
How old was the offender?
I think about like 26 is what I'm guessing.
Okay. Did they say suspicious or did they say sus? Is question
number
two.
Full word. Suspicious.
The full word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that resonates.
Because we had learned, like we learned sus back about 5 years ago. We learned it. So then when she said, what does this mean? We were like, I don't know, but I guess we have to revive our podcast, turn it into a Substack and get to work because there's things we don't know. We still don't entirely know what she meant, but we did get closer, right, Emily?
We did. We did.
What did we get to?
Well, I believe a youth told us it was not an insult.
Yes.
And then I felt even more ridiculous because I never went back. You guys, I never went back.
So you never followed up with her to ask her directly what it meant.
That would be really mature, Dom. And no, I did not.
Wow. Emily was like, you know what's suspicious? Me not showing up here again. Am I dead? You'll never know.
I think it is suspicious that you didn't go back. I think you validated what she said, actually, because I would have been there 45 minutes later and say, just one more thing. What the fuck did you mean by that?
Oh, Dominic wouldn't even have left. He would have confronted them right then and there. So that's the difference. Yeah.
I probably would have. Was it a woman? Was it a woman
it
who said it?
Very much so.
I would have smacked her probably right on the spot. Of course. I would never smack a man because they'd kick the shit out of me. But a woman, a light slap just for using the word. She would have appreciated it.
Back of your hand.
Yes. With a feather. I would have hit her with a feather. I carry one with me for that purpose.
Dear God. Okay, righting the ship. So Dominic and I were having martinis at the duplex one night. And I said, Dominic, everything now is cosplay. That's where we start. And then with this, that snowball started rolling. And I was like, we need to get the girls here. We need to unpack this. Because I was like, everything that we do, like the younger kids, I feel like everything they do is cosplay. Everything is like the trends, like we're obviously talking about the mob wife aesthetic, which we'll get into, but even like the Barbie movie, like everyone had to like go out and buy a pink outfit to like wear to the Barbie movie that they've never worn ever again. Correct?
It's so true. And I think part of it might be that like they are the youngest sibling who has inherited this like estate sales worth of eras, you know, like not to be all Taylor about it, but like, so they are playing dress up. They are 100%.
Like, it just feels like so everything is a costume. Like nothing is like, oh, I'm doing style and this and that. It's like, everything is like, I might've got this at Spirit Halloween. It might be a Legs Avenue, like slutty blank, like enter whatever word you want to say here, costume, period, done. Am I wrong at all? Like,
no, I think there's something to that. But when we say these people, we should really specify, like if we're speaking about Gen Z in particular, let's give the listeners, what's the age range we're talking about?
These people were born between 1997 and 2013. So they're ages 27 to 11. That's what we're doing. Oh,
Dom just put his head in his hands. He's breathing deep.
I need salts. Were people even born during any of those years? This is where I'm at. I didn't even know. I thought there was just a wasteland of no people coming from there. How dare they even be born? Go on.
It's alarming. Would you be open to us just like running down a few fashion trends with their names
please,
seeing where we land?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you can tell us which one maybe you want to hear a little bit more of, but we've got Coastal Grandma, Tomato Girl.
Okay, stop. Okay,
I don't know. What are we talking about?
How dare you
what are
breeze
these?
Past Coastal Grandma as if that wasn't an immediate all halt and immediate unpacking. Go, continue. Okay.
What was the second one?
We're not there yet, Dominic. I don't know. Tomato something, but I'm not past Coastal Grandma.
Coastal Grandma and Tomato something. Okay. These sound
Tomato
like
Girl.
Are these episode titles from The Golden Bachelor? Because that's what they sound like to me, both of these.
Oh my God, those do. You know, yeah, Susan is Tomato Girl. She's pretty much Tomato Girl. And also like corporate baddie, if we're being honest. But yeah. Yes.
Coastal Grandma, you're going with a crisp linen. You're looking like you've retired to the beach. You have a big garden, and you're getting your farmhouse style on.
Okay, I'm enjoying that. I like that.
Yeah,
not bad. You know,
no.
It's pretty chill.
Yeah. Okay, Tomato Girl.
In terms of like what can be Tomato Girl. We're going to be wearing a lot of red, so just, of course, like, obviously. And that's something you're going to find as we go through these, is that you might want more nuance, but the truth of the matter is, it's very simple. Like, and you're going to wonder why it's a thing. And there's not going to be a lot of answers. You're just going to have to have radical acceptance.
This is the world that you two live in every day. Is like, why is this way? Like, unclear. It doesn't make any sense. And here we are, right?
It's like they just slapped a name on it. And everyone was like, yep, that's it. That's the one.
That might be the problem that we're going to get to. Like, after we go through this, like, we might have to discuss if that is the actual problem here that we're fixing. But go ahead.
Well, and it's a problem, and we can like talk about what came first, the chicken or the egg. Who's setting the tone for this? Is it real? Is it not real? Like, what's happening? But a Tomato Girl, she's going to be in like a lot of red picnic appropriate costumes, little dresses, headscarves, again, linen pants, some espadrilles, you know, but a lot of red and white and maybe some little bit gingham going on there. And she's going to look fresh and she might have a basket with strawberries in it. And that's her vibe, guys. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I see this.
This is just a style of, we're just speaking of general styles of dress of this generation and how they categorize it.
Yes. This is like trends that are occurring or have occurred within the last year or so. And if you were to hop onto your Twitter or your most likely your TikTok and throw in hashtag Tomato Girl. You're going to see some of this, you know?
Like, are they saying this is my favorite Tomato Girl outfit? Like swish around in an outfit. Yes.
Yes. Or just examples
hashtagging. Okay. Got it. Got it. Tomato Girl.
You know,
never forget.
We lost you, Dom?
No. I was just wondering. No, I'm here. I'm here. I was trying to whisper without anyone hearing, "Hey Siri, what's TikTok?" But I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of all the listeners. Now I know what it is. So I know what it is. It's a problem. Maybe that's what we're actually fixing today, but we haven't gotten there yet. But let's see. Let's go on to the next. What will the next one be?
Sure.
Sandpaper thighs. I mean, these are getting so, so creative.
Emily, what do you got there?
You know, let's skip to a frazzled English woman.
No, that's not real. That's not real.
It
guys,
is.
I don't believe you.
It is.
We didn't believe us either. And yet, here we are.
Now, I almost have a different view of this entire generation.
Now you're warming up. Now you're warming up.
Frazzled English woman.
I mean, I think I'm kind of giving a little frazzled English woman today. I mean, she's like, she wears cardigans. She has her hair a little crazy. She's Kate Winslet in The Holiday, right? Yeah, like she's struggling. Yeah. She doesn't have her life together. She's lost, but she's also wearing vests, tights, and skinny scarves. Just to wrap it all together.
Maybe a claw clip.
But again, like, this is like they plucked this out of a movie and now this is what people are. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, we, yes.
Again, these are all costumes, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's not actually a thing. They were like, this isn't let's give style, this a name. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh, God. This is so, it's so much worse than I thought it was going to be. Okay. Do we have, what else can you hit me with? Give me another good one.
Sure.
Frazzled English Woman was really.
Frazzled English Woman is hard to top.
Well, it's also who we, that is Dominic and I. We are frazzled.
Like, it is my size. I feel like I've just been born today. I feel like I found my birth certificate. Emily just handed it to me. It was like, you're a frazzled English woman. Of course. Of course I am. See the size of my scarves?
Well, you know what is nice? I will say this, like just hearing you identify with frazzled English woman. What I like about it is that, you know, I was just looking at a lot of pictures growing up, right? And I'm like, we are just simply in clothing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just jeans that don't have a particular fit to them and shirts that also don't have a particular fit to them. And then maybe our hair is doing things, you know, but like early 90s, like I know it can be more specific than that, but a lot of times it was just clothing on your body, you know, and there's something nice to be like popping into your closet and giving yourself a directive, like, you know what? I am a frazzled English woman. Let me kind of pull some things that speak to that aesthetic and feel like I'm doing something as I make my way out the door.
Okay. Okay.
You never know the day you're going to meet your Jack Black, you know? So you might as well.
And
you're feeling the vibe. You're feeling the emotion of it.
Yeah, like I am a frazzled English woman.
Are
like
you? I didn't know this about either of you. This is a nice reveal.
Well, I do think we both have frazzled English women personalities for sure. Yeah, I think fashion-wise, I definitely trend more toward a frazzled English woman, and Chris is definitely more of a mob wife, but already was a mob wife, I think.
But I think like coastal grandma, like my dream is coastal grandma.
Right. That's your highest self.
Yeah. Like white button down, crisp white button down shirts with like nice pants and like a nice boot. That's a coastal grandma, right?
Is that like, are we doing like, is this like Diane Keaton and Something's Gotta Give?
No, yes.
It is. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Like that is coastal grandma, is Diane Keaton and Something's Gotta Give, right?
I love that. It's
or
sort of like
Meryl Streep in It's Complicated.
Yes. Yes.
The same character. Yes. Which I love. Like, absolutely. Like, not a note's difference between them.
Yeah. Okay. So, any other ones that stand out? Obviously, we know the mob wife is one, but that's.
I mean, and mob wife's, mob wife aesthetic is like really coming in strong.
That one took over. Like that got to really, me. Like I haven't heard Tomato Girl before. I haven't heard Frazzled English Woman, but I've heard Mob Wife aesthetic, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just we'll leave you with Corporate Baddie and then we'll move on to Mob Wife aesthetic.
Corporate Baddie is like Megan the Stallion in like a pantsuit.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, thank
that
you.
Is absolutely
okay. All right. I'm catching on.
With that, like, and you're going to be in your bold colors, you know, you're going to have an edge as you make your way through your day at your workplace. And you are always thinking as you go through your day, I am a corporate baddie. And that's helpful. Yeah, yeah. It's like a directive.
Right. But that's exactly what it is. You're dressing for the part. So to your point, Chris, again, it is dress up.
You're in a costume. But you're not going to work in a nice, Go ahead, Dominic.
It is very much corporate baddie is sending me instantly down the path of eventually we do find out that queer people of color invented virtually everything. And these are categories at a ball. Like corporate baddie is executive realness from Paris is Burning. Yes. It's Dominic, literally the same thing.
Never even put that together. You are so fucking right. That's, oh my God, wow. Wait.
Because I'm not just a middle-aged faggot occasionally. I am always that. And I'm only thinking of Paris is Burning at all times.
Guys.
By the way, as am I. That is one movie I have watched many, many, many times. And it always is there for me. And it will always be important. Very important.
Guys, I'm breathless. To quote Deanna.
I am kind of too.
Because that is what this is.
Mm-hmm.
It is a ball. Like, can you look? Because wasn't the one, I'm trying to think of the one thing when it's like, it was literally like military, like was the category. And the guys were like, can they look like soldiers? Like, it wasn't like military and it's like a drag queen with like two tank boobs. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, like it's torpedo boobs. Like, it was realness. It really was like, look like a soldier. Yeah. Like, that's what we're getting. Wow.
I'm about to blow your minds even further because you know what? I'm going to say this. What you know what Gen Z is in its totality? It's Paris is Burning, Taylor's version, the entire generation. That's all they are. We're done here. Thank you for listening.
Deanna's been blown back in her seat. She's laying. She's hurt. She's injured. She's injured. She's injured. She's been. She has been hit.
Taylor's version.
It's like, you know, in Paris is Burning, queer people of color were kept out of some of the realness that they were cosplaying in that ball, right? And so is that also happening here? Because I think it is. I don't know. Is a corporate baddie actually showing up in a corporate location, or is that corporate baddie marching to Starbucks?
Not. Yeah.
Like, is that her ball? Is the ball the Starbucks on the corner in her suit with colorful moments? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is she litigating like as a corporate baddie, like, or not? Like, is court in session? Like, unclear.
Well, here's the thing. Executive realness from the queer community in the 80s was about they had to pretend to be something because those doors weren't opening for them.
Yeah.
For a Gen Z person, it's sort of similar where they're doing these things that they don't want to put the work into to see if they can even become those on their own. They're just proclaiming that they're a victim of that same culture and dressing up as Tomato Girl.
Ouch.
And that's it.
Slam.
The way I think a younger generation even thinks about how to make money or what to monetize is so different than we didn't have those avenues.
Yeah.
And we never thought of, like, to be a solopreneur was just not even, you know, on anyone's, no one talked about that. I can't think of one person I went to high school with who had that in mind, you know?
No.
And with influencing and starting up your own niche, this, that, or the other, you can eke out your career and your job and your money and your cash flow in a way that we have a hard time processing, I think. Well, what do you think about that?
Agreed.
Why not just dress up as Tomato Girl and get a bunch of views and then get money for like Tomato Girl outfits? Right?
Right.
Like, why send your resume to 900 companies that are going to reject it when you could just be Tomato Girl?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Don't know. Like,
you know, like, it sounds pretty fucking good to me. Carry a basket of strawberries and wear linen pants. Hello.
And it be like the weird backlash of growing up and, you know, with tons of video games that we also didn't have in terms of like entering these virtual worlds.
Yeah.
Where you could be anything. You create your whole persona. And now that's how they're kind of just interacting.
We're going through the world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like a living avatar. Like, this is what I'm creating. I'm popping this on it and this on it. And here we go. It doesn't need to be more. I don't have to put the 10 years in to earn my
corporate baddie like situation.
Corporate baddie status.
I'm just
going
to be a corporate baddie, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
And like, not for nothing, even like the video games and the virtual worlds that I played when I was a kid, like, not to quote Dominic's favorite thing ever, but The Sims, like, you had one outfit in The Sims 1 and that was it. Like, you weren't, you weren't changing it up. You weren't doing this and that. Like, you picked your outfit and that was it for life until you would drown your Sims in the pool eventually. Like, you were in there and that was it. Like, these days they have even just random, your Bitmoji on your phone is like, could be whatever it wants to be and look like a unicorn or a person or a dragon or a whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much of that that's like whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, that even me as a millennial was like, we didn't even have that much like online situation where we could just like be whoever we wanted. I don't know.
No, there was less opportunity because, you know, you covet, to quote Hannibal Lecter, you covet what you see.
Oh, God.
And so when I was a kid, there were five channels. And so I would look at the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour or Carol Burnett and say, there we go. That's what I want to be. And now when kids are raised with a tablet, and no shade, I mean, if I had kids to keep them quiet, I would put them in a room full of tablets on top volume, mostly just to drown them out. But they're being exposed to a world that even with parental controls is exponentially more distracting than what life was for someone like me as a kid. You know, I mean, they're like, by the time they're 5 years old, you know, it's not firefighter, policeman, astronaut. Like, they're talking about, you know, becoming crypto pioneers and AI engineers and all sorts of other shit that I wouldn't know how to go about doing that now. And I'm an educated adult. And they live in a very different world. They live in a world where they are being smacked with information from birth now at this point. There was no break from it. For those of us that are a little older, we at least lived a third or a half of our lives without all of this stuff burying us in insecurity and quote unquote opportunity. And now it is they are just different. You know, they are, it is a generation of very different human beings. I mean, I think really
different
just
wiring.
Like the World War II came back and then they gave birth to hippie children. They looked at each other for decades and just said, who are you people? I think Gen Z is the new who are you people. I really do. I think Gen X and, you know, millennials, I think that they and we have our own sort of language. Like, every generation is different, but Gen Z, just as Gen Z would say, they just hit different. You know, they're a different group of people.
Oh, wow, Dominic.
Yeah.
I have two nieces and a nephew. Thank you very much. And I listen to everything they say.
Emily and I were talking too about like just the way we purchased. So how can you become a tomato girl? God. Well, we can do it and we can have it in our doorstep tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right? We can like be a tomato girl.
We can have it there. Meanwhile, we were looking through that JCPenney catalog and circling the number and asking our parents if we could do it, finally getting them to co-sign on a few items, picking up the phone, dialing in like 3 to 4 weeks later. You would get your things, you'd try them on, and you'd wear them because you didn't even know you could return whether they fit or not. So that was it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a totally different time frame and idea of like, I can be this if I buy this, you know?
I order from Amazon a lot, I would say. You know, well, maybe not like an obsessive amount, but enough that sometimes maybe months will go by where I haven't gone to a proper store to go shopping, like for more than one item. And then when I find myself having a list of things and I go to a Walmart or a Target, it feels like an absolute treat. I'm like, look, I can just get all these things myself and bring them home today. Look how convenient it is to go to a store. Like, it feels more convenient than waiting even a day. And I think that all the time, I'm like, these kids don't, especially those who sort of came into that sort of moment, like the transactional moment during COVID, they started ordering things online before they even went to a store with their own money.
I didn't even think
so
about
weird.
That.
Terrible.
It's weird to think about. This is too real. Yeah. You're like hitting us with too much. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just like,
well, you know, sometimes the olds keep olding. I don't know what to tell you. I know I've been thinking, but since we decided we were doing it and I look at them and I'm listening to them and I'm almost like, you know, not in a get off my lawn way, but I almost feel bad for them because there's like a joy to human interaction on a level that we had that I don't think they will ever have. And I'm sure any of them who might be listening to this podcast or rolling their eyes and thinking, well, times are different. They are different. And in that way, they're better in a lot of ways. But in that way, I don't think that things are better.
Like
I think the way we socialize because of technology is, you know, more fucked up than it was when we were growing up. Hopefully the more intelligent of them would know that.
You just have to look at, and this is, we're going to take it a little darker, but the suicide rates are so high and it has to be.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No, oh, yeah. Bad. For everyone, very much so for children, but also just in general, it's really an issue and a problem. And that's because of this, and maybe there'll be a dial turned where the wiring changes and it doesn't feel so bad, you know, but it's damaging to have all this information coming at you at all moments of the day and to feel less than. And
the social aspect of just the way these kids interact with each other online is so alarming. Like, people will have entire like secret Snapchat conversations about someone else and they're all in on it. You know, they're interacting in the school day together with knowing that this whole other side chat is happening. It's so devastating on more than one level, right? Like, we were just like talking shit behind each other's backs. This is like created to destroy.
Yes. There's like so many ways to feel bad.
Yeah.
Not just like, oh, my shoes aren't as cool as the other kids and now I feel like shit. It's like now everyone is a Snapchat streak that I'm not in on and it's like about me and like, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Jesus. I would not do well.
Well, I will say, I feel that it's starting to creep into, and I want to hit on the Barbie movie very quickly, and then we will talk about House, like Mob Wife Aesthetic, because Mob Wife Aesthetic, I feel like, is our version of these trends. Yeah.
And we do, and we like, should lighten it up because these kids still are assholes. I want to be very, very clear about it. No offense, kids, but that part is coming. I think people are still responsible for their own personal behavior. It doesn't matter which sort of, what generation you were born into. So this isn't all just gloom and doom. Because I could see Chris getting nervous. He's just like, please remember this is a comedy. Sometimes I get nervous on here and I can't help it.
No. But
he goes,
like,
Chris says,
Of course, a little bit, but fearless feedback, Deanna.
I like it right in the moment, you know?
So the Barbie movie comes out.
Okay.
Everyone my age is like, I can't wait for it. Like, oh my God, I'm going to get an out. Like, everyone, we have to dress up. I feel anymore that it's starting to seep in. And this is with the Barbie movie. This is with the Eras tour. This is with the Renaissance tour.
These
big tent pole, like summer, like it was, they were all summer. So summer thing, but like these big fun, like this is the hot thing to do. I have felt when I went to the Renaissance tour and whenever I went to the Barbie movie, it was like,
group thing.
You need to buy a whole new outfit that you've never worn before so that you can wear it that one time. And it's probably not an expensive thing. It's probably from Amazon and is like made out of chemicals and will fall apart if it rains on you. But like, you need to buy like a new outfit. Like, you need to have a whole outfit to go sit in a movie theater and watch the Barbie movie. Like, I went with a bunch of friends. It was my one friend's, Leanna Inzerillo, friend of the podcast, her bachelorette party. Basically, we went and saw the Barbie movie and we did the whole thing of weekends and it was all Barbie themed. So they had Barbie everything, Barbie this, Barbie that, everything all over the place. I was like, I don't have anything pink, like especially not hot pink. I just don't. I have like one salmon colored like sweater. Other than that, I don't really wear pink. So I don't have anything Barbie-ish. And I was like, I'm not buying a pink shirt to like wear one time. Like, I just like put my foot down. I was like, I will not do this. Did I wear a black and white Spice Girls t-shirt there? Yes. Was that basically the same thing? Yes.
Sure.
However, like every other person, including every person in the theater minus me, was in full pink outfits. So I was like, I'm not going to buy a new outfit just for this one day. And then I'm never going to wear this pink shirt ever again. Like, I don't want to do it. And then Renaissance tour, same thing. Like, where's your metallic cowboy hat? Where's your this? Like, I wore like a very sheer bandana printed button down shirt, but I wear it all the time. And if you look on my Instagram, like I'm probably in four pictures in the same shirt. Like, I wore a cowboy hat, but it wasn't metallic and it wasn't a disco ball horse and it wasn't blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I feel that, like, and maybe not you guys yet, but like the millennials are being roped in so hard with these, like, we have to now cosplay every time we go do something fun.
That's so funny.
That it's drag. It's forced in. Drag. It's forcible yes. drag. It's yes. peer pressured yes. drag.
Yes.
I mean, now that you framed it that way, I really can't see it as anything else. You're absolutely right. It's like, but one thing that Deanna and I were discussing, which was exactly this, is that there is sort of like a missing of community that we had coming out of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. sort of what we felt like, oh, that's all, you know, Beyonce's going to ask us to wear chrome. We will wear chrome. You know, there's just sort of that feeling of like, we're all in this together. Let's do the thing. Let's okay. put on the show.
That mm-hmm. makes sense. That makes sense.
We all, yeah, we were thinking that, and then thinking back to when we grew up with only several channels and we were all consuming the same thing, that it feels nice because people's algorithm is so specific to them and people are so splintered off in many ways, that to come together in that way and share something is also nice, you know, in addition to the community feeling. It's also like, you know, it's the same concept, but also the splintering off of, you know, what you're watching and consuming can feel strange as well.
Mm. Yeah. Speaking of Halloween, tell us about Mob Wife Aesthetic Week.
Yes.
Okay, that was a beautiful segue.
Thank you.
Boy, was that fun. I mean, if you are going to dress up, and you are, I mean, we weren't corporate baddies, but we were baddies.
Yeah.
Like
Carmela Soprano herself.
Good.
Yeah.
It felt yeah. so good to like put on a furry
you're like
coat,
settling into it again. I can see it.
Hoops. It's more what it did for my spirit, which just made me think, fuck you to everyone, which
yeah.
I needed.
Yeah.
I needed it. I needed it.
Yeah. I feel like Mob Wife Aesthetic is the one that we latched onto because we're like the group of people that like grew up watching The Sopranos. Like, do you know what I mean? Like every single one of us like wanted to be Carmela Soprano at some point. And like, we're totally. Now finally like have the right to do so. And it's not like white face Italian version. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, from Long Island. Hi, Dom. We know. But so yay. It's just a, you know, hey. And I will send you guys in a group thread some throwback pictures that came my way yesterday and you will see what was going on. But, you know, it was a heightening of what's available. And I will say what felt really good was like a Mob Wife aesthetic is a little sexier. You know, and you're dressing up for your man. That's like the yes. mentality. And
it's womanly.
It is. Mm-hmm. It's very feminine with an edge and it's fun. It was just like, oh, I like this vibe. I'm feeling myself. I like my skinny jeans on. I like this little belt action. I like putting a little too much jewelry on. It was fun. How did you guys, we saw your picture.
Well, sadly, Dominic and I just wore clothes that were in our closets already. We didn't have
that
to
was our
search. Yeah, hide nor hair. Like, we didn't have to go anywhere to get a full Mob Wife aesthetic look.
Right. So, the moral of this story is that Gen Z is dressing like us, basically. Yeah. Like, those were our actual outfits. And then when we showed up looking the way we did, we were like, oh, we're dressed like Mob Wives today in our normal clothes. And so we
yeah,
just
like, instead of just ourselves, we were like, oh, I guess we both are Mob Wife aesthetic. Like,
yeah,
you were.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. It was great. I love my fur coat. Like, I love wearing my Italian leather white gloves. Mm. Like, why do I own cream leather gloves from Florence? I don't know, but I wear them every fucking day.
Like, people do stop. They do stop Chris on the street when he wears that coat. They do like catcall after us when we are walking down the street. Unless they're doing it to me because I'm typically dressed as Big Ange, tits out as well. So it could be just
I'm the wife. Motherfucking P. Bless up to her.
One of the greats.
An
one of the
greats. Actual icon. An actual yes. icon. Yeah.
Yeah. She is God, the Mob Wife Aesthetic. I know. So what else do you have to say? Because Mob Wife Aesthetic is fun. Like that one I'm on board for. I don't know what to say now. Am I just that and everyone else was going out? Because Deanna, did you go, you had to go like get clothes, right? Like, did you go to the thrift store I saw on the Substack?
Yes, I went to the thrift store. I bought a bunch of stuff and then I ended up sending most of it back. But I had purchased like some knee-high suede boots over Christmas that were great and ready. Mm. I had that big like teddy bear giant coat. I got a bunch of Christmas stuff that really was at the ready. And then I did get a sweater off Amazon, but I love it so much. Little animal print. So it, you know, truthfully, I did go out to buy, but I didn't really need to buy very much because I had what I needed. I just had to reformat it.
I think that's the thing with Mob Wife. It's like, that's everyday wear. You know, there's nothing that you're mm-hmm. doing that feels so out of the box that you couldn't go to the grocery store or stop for gas. You know what I mean? It's like, you are just looking good. Whereas some of these other, I don't know, it's like you're putting on a much bigger personality to do when you're trying to be a tomato girl or, you know.
Tomato Girl's gonna is
She's it. Like, by the way, this episode's called Tomato Girl. I don't know what else it could ever be called.
I don't even know if I understand it. Like, I don't know It sounds like a slur against Italian women, Tomato Girl. I have to be honest. Like, I don't even understand.
Fucking Tomato Girl over here. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I don't even understand.
I hope it's not.
Yeah, it very well might be. That's the other thing we kind of like have come to is that a lot of these, Emily and I sit there and go, how can we know everything that's coming out? It's coming out so rapidly and there's no way to know it. And I was thinking, I used to work at the Apple store and I would watch when a person over 60 would hold an iPad for the first time. They were so clunky and confused and they needed their oil, like they were squeaky.
Yeah.
And a 3-year-old would pick an iPad up, zip, zap, zip, zoop, just navigate around it like a pro, a 3-year-old. So it is an intuitive device, but we have a lot of learning and we have our thoughts and how we feel about things. And I said, I think these kids with all of these trends and aesthetics and they're having fun with this, that, and the other, they're not taking it that seriously.
And it's they're not, sort of,
washing over them.
Yes. Like Mob Wife aesthetic is over, right? Like, is anyone talking about Mob Wife aesthetic? Like, no.
No.
By the time this airs, God, they're going to be like, what? Like, truly. Yeah. That's the other thing is that it's not even like a year trend. It's not even like everyone's wearing these shoes this year. Like it is truly for a week. And then, which is even worse. Cause like if Tomato Girl is popping, she's popping until it's 2 weeks later. And everyone's like, we're on Eggplant Girl. Like, what are you even doing? Do you know
Another
what I mean?
Slur.
Like, I did that one on purpose, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm Potato Girl. Like, now we're French Fry Girl. Like, that's what French Fry Girl is, and God knows what that means. But like, it really is like week to week, the trends. How do you keep up?
You don't.
Yeah.
You're right. You're not supposed to. Yeah.
Unless you are young and you feel pressured to. I mean, we're still going to dress like mob wives because we've already been doing it.
Again, that I just wearing my own clothes. Can't
That's
help
it.
That. Like, yeah,
just, That's it.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
So much. This was truly the fact that Dominic hit us with Paris is burning Taylor's version. Like
Swift.
Yeah. Immediately. Like that was 10 minutes in. The fact that that hit us so quick. Like I've been reeling since. So
I'm sorry. I just make everything gay. I just have
before,
to bring it back.
No, but it was so right. And I've never even remotely thought about it that way. And that is what it is. Anything else we need to say before we kind of pitch our ideas of how to fix this quagmire? And like, we're talking about trends. Like, you know, again, I'll never stop saying Tomato Girl. Now that you've given this to me, it's like, I am Tomato Girl. You're a Tomato Girl. We are Tomato Girl. Like, it's so good. Like, Tomato Girl hashtag on every picture I ever post like, from now until infinity. But like, we're not even talking about like, you know, again, as a paid subscriber to How to Be Less Old Substack, like I know about like looks maxing and like beige flags and like blah, blah, blah. Like all these different things that like these two intrepid reporters have like been throwing across my desk day in and day out. Like we're just talking about like just clothing that they wear and say is like a costume. Like, there's all these other trends and terminology that is like so hyper blown up to be viral because they are like the viral generation that it's like, we are scratching truly the surface.
Well, to get more annoying, if we want to use some terms about the trends, what we're really talking about are micro trends and core aesthetics.
Core aesthetics.
Is like, isn't that exhausting though? Even those words are, they exhaust me. That exhausts me.
Yeah. It makes you hate the entire generation. Yes, absolutely. Correct. 100%.
Yeah. Cause like, remember like cottage core, like that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like that's one that we remember. Like that was one that broke through really.
Yeah. All the cores, ballet core, a lot of core.
Well, and then it was just like you wore something and they said that it was core.
Core.
Because what was the one that was just like 90s core, but it was, what was that called? It was like plain and like pastel norm color. Core. Norm core.
Norm core.
Remember that? Like this was,
I
that was
those simpler days.
Yeah. That was with us and that held its own title for a really long time. Yeah. You know, that was the Seinfeld aesthetic, normcore. Yes.
Yes. Oh my God.
That's what I meant by we just wore clothes, like normcore.
Yeah.
You know?
Normcore. Yes. Oh God. Everything is a title. That's another problem is that like nothing is just what it is. It's all like this aesthetic or this vibe or this. And it's like, no, I'm just like wearing, like I'm just simply wearing, I'm just existing.
That's everyone's fault. I don't know that, like, I mean, they were sort of produced into that moment because, like, once, can we call it BuzzFeed or do we have to call it the BuzzFeed journalism aesthetic? The BJ aesthetic. But just, you know, when everything started becoming listical, you know, like when life just started becoming listical, that was an elevator shaft without an elevator in it with a direct express to Gen Z. Like once that started taking over thought, it was just over after that. Then everything just became a list. You know, what's shorter than a list? A title.
Well, Dominic, I'm sorry to tell you that
Dominic,
that's our fault. That's the millennials' fault is the listicles. That's completely on us. And I have to live with that every day now. But you are right. It really is. That really was like the beginning of all of this, which is extremely upsetting to feel now that because it was definitely my friends that started all those listicles. Okay. Emily, you might not know this. Deanna does. Dominic and I are going to pitch what we think these people should do to fix the Gen Z trends. And by these people, our client is basically society, American society at large. And then you two will decide if you guys have a better pitch, go ahead and do that. But if not, you will decide who is the winner.
She said we don't.
We don't. Definitely don't.
Okay. I have to root this in my own experience. And I feel that I was in a quagmire when I was like, I don't want to buy a Barbie t-shirt. Like, I don't want to buy a metallic Renaissance t-shirt. I think there should be a company that is similar to Rent the Runway and all other various versions of that, that is like called Trend Core or something of that nature, that is truly like Tomato Girl outfits. Like, boom, 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 boom. You can order them. They come to your door, like truly ripping off Rent the Runway. There's reviews. There's people in the outfits. Like, here's this Tomato Girl outfit. Here is Mob Wife aesthetic, left, right, center, this, that way to Sunday. Here is Coastal Grandma, right? Here's Coastal Grandma, like the crispest white shirts you've ever seen in your life. Frazzled, wasn't frazzled English woman.
I'll never get over
frazzled English woman outfits. Like, and then if they want to, not for nothing, to appeal to us, like other people, it's like, this is Nancy Meyers aesthetic. Like, here's all these outfits you can rent. Like, here's this, here's for Eras Tour. Like, she has a whole collaboration with them. Beyonce has a whole collaboration. Like, any artist can be like, I'm going to curate the outfits that you should wear to my show. And they can do huge collaborations with them. And it really is like a thing where I can rent this. And then I know that I'm giving it back and that like someone else will use it when they do this exact same thing that I was doing instead of buying the Amazon version and then throwing it in the garbage afterwards. Because we can't stop the trends. So I think that a way to buy everyone into it that is sustainable and like maps it out for us, I think really helps.
That's so nice. Wow. That was such a like millennial pitch for how to fix it. I love it.
It is. It's almost like you're setting up, like you're cornering the market, like you're a college bookstore, basically. Yeah. Like you're sort of owning the market, and like, which isn't necessarily a bad, I mean, there'll be a little competition somewhere in your plan at some point, but it really is like you're just sort of cornering the market and making it easier for people so they don't have
to. And like for these content creators, it's like, oh, I need to do like Tomato Girl and Coastal Grandma and this. It's like, boom, 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 here's $400. I have all my things. I do 3 shoots in 2 days and then I send them all back.
Right.
Good to go.
I feel like this is Shark Tank. You just sold us your company.
There's no sheen involved. There's no lead clothing. There's no like, you know what I mean?
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Minimal child labor has to happen for this versus like 9 million versions of the same thing. That's what I'm talking about. Dominic?
I just feel like I need to say this as it happened in real time, that I am recording this podcast in my parents' basement and my mother just brought me cookies. She just delivered them to me because she knows we're recording the podcast.
As I was talking about child labor, that's so beautiful.
Literally, I was like, I'm still from a generation where it was all parent labor. Bring me a fucking cookie. That's the mob wife's aesthetic right there. Thank you, mother. Gen Z fashion people, whoever you are. The only thing I kept thinking the whole time was, this is so much pressure, this fashion stuff. I feel like it bleeds into other areas of a Gen Zer's life. So it should be its own separate moment. The fashion of it all should just be its own separate app. That whole life should just be its own sort of like, it should just be like Fortnite. Like there are video games and then there's Fortnite. Like Fortnite's its own life. So I think that all the fashion shit that Gen Z does should be splintered off into its own app. And that's what the whole app is, just what's the trend of the day. And let's call it Tick Frock. Period. That's my word. And now I'm going to eat one of these cookies because I'm proud of that.
You should be. Mm-hmm. Oh, that nice, had a nice crunch to it.
Tick Frock.
They're Tates.
Wow.
Ladies, I have to say, these are two pretty good ideas. I'm going to sit back and watch you guys debate.
Yeah. Well, and they pair beautifully together, which is not always the case.
I mean, you basically created the app for Chris's company. Yeah. I think.
Did I?
Like maybe they are like, one?
Well, it's basically what I'm hearing from Dominic is like he wants to take all of this out of his view and placed in a different location.
Yeah, somewhere else. Yes, no, should we banish it away from like our Instagram? Yeah, yes.
Out of my goddamn face.
Yeah,
Tomato and go over girl to that app where I never see you again.
You're reclaiming your feed. We're done.
Kind of. And making it easier for them too. Like if you're going to pressure yourselves about one thing, just leave it somewhere else and don't mix it up with all the pressure you put each other under for trying, pretending to scare your family members or making a bad recipe in the hope that Chef Reactions will pick it up. Whatever. Whatever the children are doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Emily, do you have any strong feelings that we should talk about these two gorgeous, really gorgeous, gorgeous California suggestions that were just presented? That was a Golden Bachelor.
Yes, yes. But they both feel very ripe, like a tomato.
Mm. Stop.
And
how dare you?
That part feels great.
Yeah.
I actually will admit, I feel like I would use a Rent the Runway service of trends once in a while. It's like an elevated spirit of Halloween, and I'm into that.
Mm.
How are you feeling?
It would definitely have to be an app where you can be a subscriber and like, you know, pay your whatever monthly, or you can jump in. We have to have a one-day fee, you know, or one event fee or whatever, one look, you rent by the look. I don't need to be locked into that, Chris, so I don't know. You're sitting there passively, but I got to tell you right now, if I'm locked into that monthly, I'm out. So I don't know.
Okay.
Okay. are you okay with that? Can we have a look fee?
I think it's like you rent the clothes and that's what it is. I don't think it's a monthly fee. Yeah, at the beginning. At the beginning. Mm. Then they, once you're addicted to it, they're getting you left, right? They're snapping you. But
how dare you address Chris's demeanor as part of your sussing all of this out? We don't do physical appearance here, Deanna. Just kidding. It's literally all we do. It's literally all we do. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I feel Chris's idea has legs, and I think it can be quite successful. I think the amount of influencers, micro-influencers, just people at large, you know, just a Taylor Swift concert, the amount of money that can be made to get your Swiftie outfit together just seems spectacular. So
I mean, beyond.
I hope they have the bracelets available, accessories and everything,
obviously.
Right?
Yes, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I love that, Emily. I do think that has legs. And obviously, you will put those outfits into Dominic's. You will get them over there on his app. But in terms of winner, I don't know. I think it's Chris.
This is my last podcast. I knew when he was done, he was going to win. I was just like, oh, yeah, because he always goes first. And when I know his idea is better than mine, sometimes I want to fake a pass out, but I didn't do that.
That's
hard. Next time I know Chris is going to win, I'm going to fake a medical emergency so there's no winner. And then we'll just quote unquote forget to name the winner for months after till we tally it up at the end of the year. Christopher, you always have my support.
You did have Tick Frock, you know. That was crazy.
Like, I'll even give you that name if you need it, Chris. You can take the name free of charge. Congratulations, Chris, and congratulations to Gen Z. You're welcome. We've done it.
Solutions were just cracked.
I mean,
are you okay?
I mean,
Chris is reeling.
Chris is blown away. Chris, he needed this win. You're only one behind me for this year.
Oh, thank God. Okay.
It's just 4-3 now. And we had a tie. We had a three-way tie with an expert a couple of weeks ago. Unprecedented.
Wowee wee wow. I mean, ladies of How to Be Less Old, Deanne Chang, Emily, Frieda Foster. I mean, beyond. This was important. I'm sorry to say this was important.
It lifted my tush right up. Thank you guys. Yeah. This was really fun.
You guys are the best, you know. You're on fire. You're killing it. It is a privilege to get to chat with you. So thank you so much.
And a privilege to chat with you. The most intrepid reporters I know. In the trenches every day. I mean, guys, on How to Be Less Old, like, you're missing Deanna going into a store and buying a corset. Buying a corset top that the woman is like, you should wear this with it and this and this. That I was gripped by that story. Deanna. Like,
it was unexpected, you know, and yet it looks so good.
Yeah.
Sadly, my husband was out of town, so at work, and I, for Mob Wife Week, would have loved to, but it is a two-person job. It is not.
I would bring
your titties over to somebody else. It's just a lot. So I just left, you know, I'll just have to bring my inner. Thank you, Emily. Thank you.
God. I mean, what an unprecedented episode it was. Ladies of How to Be Less Old, tell us where we can find you and tell everyone where they can find the Substack and the podcast.
We're at howtobelessold.substack.com, or you can find us at HTBLO.
At Deanna M. Chang.
And I'm at Frieda Foster.
Dominic, where can people find you?
Oh, thank you for asking, Chris. My website's dominterry.com. The socials are at Dominic Pupa. I can also be found at the Duplex on Fridays from 5:45 until I'm asked to leave nearly every week. Chris, where can the listeners of this podcast find you?
You can find me at the Chris DeRosa. You can find the show at Fixing Famous People. You can find the Patreon at patreon.com/fixingfamouspeople. Oh, wow. Wow. Thank you, ladies.
Wow.
Again, thank unprecedented. You. I wish you all well. And as always, where's Shelley? Goodbye.
Bye. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.